Again, I appreciate you being here. Let's go back to Matthew again. Talking about Matthew, a Jew writing a book to Jews about a Jew. And we're dealing now with chapter 25. Looked last time at the parable of the 10 virgins. And that was dealing about how the Lord wants His people to wait and to watch. Talking about His coming and how those virgins, of course, being the guests of the wedding, or to watch and to wait. I'll move a little bit further. I'm going to look at the parable of the talents tonight. And Jesus' emphasis is not so much with just waiting and watching, but now with working. And what He's doing with these parables is saying to those who are living at the tribulation period, those lost and saved, that you better make sure you're ready because Jesus is coming. And those that are saved should be watching and waiting and working. And that's an emphasis. We want to try to put our hearts in that direction. These are verses and words that are directed specifically to those people who will live in the tribulation period. But it certainly can be applied to all believers and all people of all times, not just believers, but all people. Jesus didn't tell anybody when He was coming, and He did that for a reason. He did that to make sure that everyone, believer and unbeliever, would realize He could come at any moment. Us, we're waiting on the rapture. They'll be waiting on the second coming. But the emphasis is this: He could come at any moment, so you better be ready any time. And that's certainly what these parables will emphasize. In this parable, it describes God as God over all. He is God over all. He is God over the lost and the saved in this world. And that's exactly what this parable is going to portray. It's going to speak of His rule over everything. And how, since He is the God of heaven and the God of earth, and He is ruler over all things, all of mankind is accountable to Him. How they live their lives and what they do with His way of salvation and what they do with the gospel. In this parable, we have pretty much two different types of people. One is the master. That's, of course, a picture of God. The other are servants, and that's a picture of those who listen. Profess to be saved, profess to be servants. We'll find out all of them are, just like we did with the 10 virgins. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The kingdom of heaven. If you remember, Matthew emphasizes the kingdom of heaven. It is this realm over which God oversees. And in this realm, or in this kingdom, or in this thing, God is God, and there's some who profess to be saved, and there's some who say they are and they aren't. So it deals, as I've already said, with those who profess to be saved. And this man took a journey into a far country. We'll find out he's going to be gone a while. You didn't just hop on a plane or even get to the Greyhound station. Going to a far country took a long time, and he was gone a good while, as we'll find out. And it says, he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The word goods means property or possessions. Like we've dealt with before, a person that owns something, leaving town, going somewhere for a journey, entrusts to his servants those things that he owns. And we find that right here in these verses. And in this parable, he is lending, if you will, or entrusting to the servants all that he possesses or all that he owns. He gives the servants responsibility, for the most part, of running his business. He is, in essence, expecting them to do what he would do if he was still there. That's exactly what he's expecting from these servants, from these men, from these people. He no doubt is entrusting them with a great responsibility. He has, at least to some extent, a deal of confidence in these, or he's expecting from them something that he can trust. He's depending on them a lot. Literally, his business, the success or failure of the business is on their shoulders. because he has turned the responsibility over to them. And this parable, therefore, deals with responsibility. They have responsibility that the master has given them to do with his goods what he would do if he was there. This parable not only deals with responsibility, but it also deals with receiving. Look in verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. We find here these servants are receiving from the master. He is giving to them, maybe better said, lending to them his goods. They are receiving from him. And notice how it's worded. He gives to one servant 5 talents, to another servant 2 talents, and to another servant 1 talent. Now, when we think about talent, we think about ability. You are talented to play the piano. You are talented to sing. You are talented to be able to write. And that's what we think of when we think about talent. But the word talent here literally means a weight. If you remember in Revelation, it talks about there's going to be hailstones that weigh up to, 100 talents, something like that. It's a weight. And in this particular parable, the word talent means a weight. It really is a way of coinage or a way of spending or having money. And it depends on what the talent's made out of, about how much it is worth. Certainly a talent of gold is going to be more valuable than a talent of silver. Probably the talent we find here were made of silver, because in verse 18 and verse 27, the word money is found, and that's the Greek word for silver. So probably these talents were silver. Here's the point. Here's the picture. This man's leaving town, and he gives to these servants, each of them, a certain amount of talents or a certain amount of money. And he, in essence, is saying, I'm leaving. You take this money and you use it wisely. And when I come back, you will be accountable for how you use that I have given you. And he gave to one man 5 and another man 2 and another man 1. Notice again, he's entrusting them with a significant amount of money. I mean, we're not talking about $1 or $2 that they could go down to the grocery store and spend in an afternoon. He's entrusting them with a good bit of finances. And these talents represent that comes from God. He has given them this money, and he says, what I have given to you, I expect you to use wisely. And God has given to every person on earth a certain amount of time, a certain amount of talents, a certain amount of treasure, a certain amount of truth, a certain amount of light that every person has received. And that's like the talents here. God has given to mankind something to use for his glory. And he will hold every person accountable for how they use what has come from him. Notice it says that he gave 5, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1, and he gave to every man according to his several ability. The word several means personal. In other words, he knew these men, and he gave them what they could handle. Isn't that amazing? He gave them, hey, that makes sense to me. Some people say that's not fair. He should have given everybody the equal amount. Well, I say that would be unfair. Because there's somebody that couldn't handle 5 talents. There's some that couldn't handle a 1/2 talent, hardly. He knew these men, these servants, and he gave them what they can handle. Listen, what they could handle rightly if they would be willing to do it. And God has again given to all man time, talent, treasure, truth. And when we look to us as Christians, he's given us more. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us spiritual gifts. Each one of us that are saved, the moment we got saved, we got at least one spiritual gift. These are our talents. This is what has come from the Master. And he has given us these things not to use for ourselves, not to enjoy on our own, but to use for him. Could I remind you? Could I get ahead of myself? We're going to be held accountable for how we use what God has given to us. This parable tells us that God determines what He's going to give, and He gives it as He wants to give it, and each person is accountable for what he receives. You see, everybody's different. I'll be honest, I'm sorry, but we're on different levels socially, mentally, emotionally, physically. We're on different levels. That's just the way things are. Everyone is different. And the Lord knows that. This man knew that. So he gave according to their ability. Said again, may not seem fair, but it's completely fair. And he wants these men to use this to the best of their ability. Look in verse 16 and 17. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. Well, 2 of these servants do pretty good. In fact, they do more than pretty good. They do real good. I mean, listen, they doubled the money. That's 100% profit. That's pretty good. Any banker would be glad to get that. Any businessman would be glad. They'd be thrilled to make 100% profit on their business the first year they open it. Here's these 2 men, the 5 talent man, the 2 talent man, and they gained double what they had received. Now listen, they could not have done that had they not put forth the effort. We're going to find that out. They couldn't do that laying around the house doing nothing. They went to work, and they did what they did by working. Now, again, this is speaking primarily to the Jews that's going to be living during the tribulation period right before he comes back the second time. But this applies to every one of us here now. God wants us to use what He's given us, and He wants us to use it wisely. He wants us to put our all into it. Notice what it says, He went and traded with the same. The word traded means to toil. It means He worked at it. They labored using what they had to gain the most they could. Now, I want to tell you something. Serving God with all your heart's not easy. If you think it is, I want to read your books, all I can say. It's wonderful. It's great. I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else. But serving God can be difficult. Living right can sometimes not be easy. But it's the right thing. It's the best thing. And hey, it's worth it every time. Here's 2 men who gave their all to gain back what had been given to them and more. Look in verse 18. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, this dude's quite different than the other 2. The first 2 doubled their money and they did real good. This person didn't even try. He went and, hey, probably worked harder than had he tried to invest it or make money, because he dug a hole and stuck the money in it. You remember earlier in Matthew, we talked about people who dug holes in their yards or on their property and hid their money. Their banks were not developed. Their banks were not trustworthy, and a lot of people did not trust them at all. So it was a common practice to hide money or valuables out somewhere in the property to bury it, and from the oak tree 5 paces to north and dig down 2 feet and there. And so this man went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. The problem was it was the master's money, and he had no right to do that. It wasn't his response. It wasn't his right to decide to just lay it up and to not use it. So then in verse 19, we find that this parable not only deals with responsibility and receiving, but it deals with reckoning. Look in verse 19. The time of reckoning's come. Those that are going to have been faithful will be rewarded. And also this time of reckoning is a separating of the real and the phony, the saved and the lost. Hey, all profess to be servants. all profess to be saved, but we find here there's no doubt they are not. Their time of reckoning comes. What does that mean? Jesus has come back. The time of reckoning, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Long time. Jesus has been gone a long time already. And this is 7 years after the rapture, so it's going to be a while. But he comes back, and again, this is the time when he comes back at the end of the tribulation period when he's going to set up the kingdom. And he reckons with all three. One thing I did notice, all three of them had the same amount of time. The one with five talents didn't have more time than the one with two. Didn't have more time than the one with one. The one with one didn't have less time. They all had the same amount of time. They had the availability, the opportunity to do something good with what had come from the master. A couple of them did. One of them didn't. Verse 20. He reckoned. And let me mention that. That word means to compute an account. He sat down and got the calculator out. Opened up the books, if you will, and read the account. There was no way these men could hide it. He had their number, and so will Jesus when he comes back. We'll find this out in the next few verses. There's going to be a time when they stand before him and give an account of their lives, and there'll be no place to hide. Everything will be revealed, and that's what we find here. Verse 20, so he that receiveth five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. He received five and gained five. That's 10. I said again, he doubled his goods. He made 100% profit. He used what was given. There was an increase because he used it wisely. Because he did what he should have done. I got a question. Are you using what God has given you wisely? Are you using it for him? Here's what he said. You gave me this much, and I've come back with more. The love that God has put in your heart, is it growing? The burden for lost souls, is there more in your heart tonight than last year? The knowledge about Scripture, has it grown? Do you know more? Do you love it more than you did last week or last month or last year? Is that that God given you, is it growing? Is it developing? Is there more to it now than there was? I sure hope so. This man is confronted. And what he did is revealed. That ought to be true of our lives. He said, notice, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. He knew where his help came from. He said, what I've had came from you. I didn't do it. I didn't earn it. I didn't merit it. It wasn't me. It was you. Everything in my life has come from you. He knew where his time and talent and treasure and truth and everything else, he knew where he came from. He knew where his help came from. He knew who had given him the opportunities he had had in the world. Notice what he says. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. That word behold is like whoopee. It literally is. It's a word of surprise. It's a word of excitement. It's a word of joy. He is just saying, I cannot believe what has happened. I used these talents, and look what has happened. And remember, he's given the master the glory because it came from him. It's amazing. Have you ever been used by the Lord? How amazing it is, how shocking it is, but how wonderful it is. He was astounded that he was able to do anything. Hey, there's no arrogance in this. He didn't say, I'll tell you one thing, I tell you what, I worked hard. No, he is giving the master the credit because he knows it was him that gave him what he had to begin with. There's no arrogance, there's no pride, there's only joy and amazement. He's given the master the glory. It's kind of like Paul. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but all them that love also love his appearing. Paul said, I have fought the fight. I am ready to go. I'm ready to stand before him, and I know I have a reward. Was that arrogance? Was that pride? No. He just knew I'd been faithful, and he said he would give me a reward, and I'm expecting it. John talks about not being ashamed before him at his coming. So those who are faithful can welcome his coming and welcome standing before him because they know their labor has brought an increase. And again, this man is quick to give the master the credit for what's happened. He knows I could have done nothing if you hadn't given me what you gave me. Everything is because of you. Look in verse 21. And his Lord said to him, well done. It really means excellent. Good job, as we say to our kids and grandkids. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, for thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, or thy Lord. Well done. The message of the parable is this. In this verse, he says, you did what you're supposed to do. And now you're given account, and you've done well, and you're being rewarded. What a blessing that is. The issue is, how did he use what he had received? What did he do with that had been given to him? Notice the master said, thou good and faithful. He said, you're a good servant. And he meant exactly what he meant. He's speaking there not so much about conduct as character. He said, you are good. And the only way you can be good is to have the Holy Spirit in you, to be God's, to be one of the real servants. And he's talking here about he not only did right, but he was right. He was good, and it honored the master. He says, good and thankful servant. He did what he could. Listen, he did what he could as well as he could, as long as he could. That's what faithfulness is. Good and faithful servant. He was an outstanding servant. And I'll say it's an outstanding thought to realize that the God of heaven might call you good and say, well done. What a blessing that would be. Here's one that's got five talents, and he gains five talents. Somebody may wonder, well, why didn't the Lord give me more? Well, he knows what you can handle. That's just it, pure and simple, and we can trust him for what he did. Hey, a good father does not give a little child a toy that they can't handle. A good father does not give a two-year-old a pocket knife, because they know that's something going to be cut up, ain't supposed to be cut up. And God will not give to his people, especially, things they cannot handle. Part of the reward was gaining, receiving. Notice what he says. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. A few things. He's saying, in essence, you weren't the one with five talents, but still it's just a few things. Just what I gave you. I will make thee ruler over many things. It means a promotion. It means an increase. In other words, you were faithful down here, so I'm going to trust you with something up here. I'm going to promote you. Remember, especially this is talking about people going into the kingdom. They're going into the millennial kingdom. And these who are faithful will be used in this kingdom and will be ruling with the Lord. And this man has gotten a promotion. He says, I will make you ruler over many things. Gaining higher responsibility and more privileges from the Lord. What a blessing that is. And you know, that's true not only of the kingdom, but it's true of heaven. There are ranks in heaven. We don't like that word, but there are ranks in angels, and they're not fighting, not since they got rid of Satan or Lucifer. God assigns positions, just like in this world. Every one of us have different positions. No doubt we have different ranks. There's no doubt about that. And when we get to heaven, there will also be heaven. You'll have your assigned position. That doesn't mean, oh, look at Jim, he's out there cleaning the toilets in heaven. It's not anything like that. There's not going to be pride or arrogancy or jealousy or anything like that. It simply means you have your position. Just like the body of Christ, we all are a part of the body of Christ if we're saved. That means we're all the same. Because I'm a member, you're a member. I'm no more a member than you are. I'm no more saved than you are. You're no more saved than anybody else is. But there are different ways of service. There's different places. There's different positions. And that's exactly how it's going to be in heaven. That's exactly what he's saying. I will make you ruler over many. Notice, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Man, there's a lot in that. I'll just mention just one or two things maybe. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In other words, this is a place of joy. Nothing but joy. But I believe it also means enter into a place where you'll have the kind of joy the Lord does. Can you imagine? Remember what the Bible says? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That means when he got back to heaven, he had joy because he had finished the task. He had won the battle. He had beat Satan. He had bought salvation. He had pleased the Father. He had joy because he had done what was right. And the Bible says when we get to heaven, we'll have that joy because we've honored God in our walk, pleased him in our service. Can you imagine the Father's joy when eternity starts and the devil's in the lake of fire and all his children are home safe and sound? And salvation has been complete, and the devil has been whooped, and the son's back home. And I'm telling you, there's joy in heaven. And he says, you'll experience that joy. You enjoy that joy. What a delightful thought. Look in verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I won't comment a lot about that because it's the same words as what he said to the 5-talent man. I will say this. These servants were promised. They said, God said, the master said, if you'll use what I give you right, you'll be glad you did. They were promised, and we're promised that it will use what God gives us rightly. We'll be glad. We'll be rewarded. They were promised. They were prompt. These 2 that did right were quick to get to work. They didn't wait around. They didn't lollygag. They went to work using that the master had given. They were promised. They were prompt. They were persistent. They kept on. They weren't like this unwise servant or this lazy servant. They did what they did and they kept doing it. They were persistent. They were also prepared. They were ready when the master came back, and they were also pleasing. They pleased the master. Look in verse 24. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Well, here comes the man who got 1 talent. And the first thing he does is almost accuse the master. He said, I knew you were hard. He said, I knew you were too hard. You expected too much. All you do is demand, demand, demand. And he said, so that kind of scared me. I thought, I can't live good enough to please him. I can't ever satisfy him. I'm just going to hide what he gave me. And when he comes back, I'll do the best I can. I'll handle it the best I can. This tells me something. This man did not know his master. Because his master was not hard. He was not cruel. Hey, he was nothing but good. He hadn't given him stuff he didn't deserve. One thing for sure, anybody who misunderstands God doesn't know God. Now, we may not understand everything he does, but somebody who says God is a harsh taskmaster, that person's probably not saved. They're either real confused or lost. This man was lost, as we'll find out. He said, I knew you were hard. Listen, reaping where thou hast not sown and gather where thou hast not strawed. He literally called him a thief. He said, you're getting stuff from people when you didn't do anything to earn it. that's the attitude a lot of people have about God. Hard, critical. Christians are mean and harsh and never enjoy anything. And they misunderstand God, just like this man misunderstood God. But I said again, the master was nothing but good to the servant. He wasn't being unfair at all. He was being more than fair. Look at verse 25. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth, and lo, there thou that... And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, lo, there thou hast that is thine. He said, I was afraid. And that tells us a little bit about he didn't accept the existence of the master. There are people who accept the existence of God, even though they're not saved or don't believe God or don't obey God, don't care about it. They accept that there is a God. But here again, this man is mistaken. He thought he hid the talent in the earth. He thought, well, my talent's not good enough to use. What could I do with one talent? Well, he was mistaken. He could have done as much percentage-wise with the one as the one with two or one with five. He could have been just as faithful as the other servants had he just done what he's supposed to do. But he didn't. He just laid it up. In other words, he did nothing with it. And he says, here it is. He didn't take advantage of the blessings that the master had given. There's a whole lot of people who do the same thing. God speaks to them with conviction. They don't listen. God deals with them. God gives good things to them, but they don't listen. They don't obey. Even sometimes believers, God gives us good things, but we don't accept it well or handle it well. We don't use it for His glory. All these good possessions were given to bring glory to the master, but this man used it for himself. Look in verse 26. The Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. How unlike the other servants. Good and faithful. Wicked, and that's exactly what it was. The word wicked means evil. He knew this man just like he knew the other ones. This man was called wicked. You know why? Because he was wicked. This shows his heart. And not only was he wicked in what he was, but he was slothful in what he did. He was lazy. He did not do what he could have done. Listen, he did not do what he could have done. You know, God not only will judge the wrong people do, doing things they shouldn't, but he also would judge the good things they could have done and didn't. It is as much a sin to not do right as to do wrong. Do you understand? It is much sin to not do right as to do wrong. This man did not do right. He was slothful. He was lazy. He was wicked. He was judged for his attitude, but he also was judged for his actions. Look in verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. The exchanger means a type of banker. It's like, it literally talks about across the table. It's where they exchange money. Somebody will give you exchange money for a price, or lend you money for a price. And that's what he's talking about. He said, at the very least, you should have made some money somehow. Now, the Jews couldn't charge interest on loans to each other, but they couldn't to Gentiles. So that's what he's talking about here. He said, at the very least, you should have exchanged it. You should have done the least, at least. And he surely is right. Master wasn't expecting or asking too much to ask for what he had given back, and or even extra. When we don't use what God has given us, we'll be held accountable for it. He didn't have but one talent, but he did have one talent. And just because he had one did not excuse him from doing what he could do. He may not have had what the others did, but he had what he had. And he was accountable for what he had. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which have 10 talents. The master took the talent that the one talent man had and gave it to the one that had 10 talents. In other words, he was able to do what the other person could have done. He had the blessings that the other person forfeited. Boy, what amazing facts that is. Look in verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This shows us what this man was. He was a false professor. He was somebody who said, I'm one of his, but he wasn't. Notice what he was called, wicked. That was the heart of the man. He was wicked. He was false. Remember, Jesus is coming back at the end of the tribulation period, and he will hold accountable those people who are on earth. And one thing that judgment will do, we're about to see it later on, not later on tonight, I know you don't worry about that, but he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the lost from the saved. And that's exactly what this parable is doing, separating some who are lost and some who are saved. Notice where he goes. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's only one place that refers to, that's hell. This parable teaches us, number one, the importance of using what God has given us, even as saved people. We may not have as much as somebody else, but you have what you've got. Be faithful with it. This parable also teaches us there's no unimportant servants. Even the one with one talent was very important and was held accountable. There are no unimportant saints. There's no unimportant spots in the family or in the body. This parable also teaches us to not be critical of others. That person with the five talents could have said, hey, what's wrong with you? You only got one. What's the matter with you? Something wrong with you? Your mama dropped you when you were little or something? Hey, I got five talents. No, there's no criticism here. And we should never be critical of others. The person with five talents had no right to criticize the person with one. And then lastly, this parable teaches us to continue on no matter what, to not neglect the opportunities that God has given us. I tell you what, there's about 14 messages in that thought right there. The things that God has given us in our lifetime that he gives us to use for him. And so much time, talent, treasure, truth we use for ourselves. Well, I've tried to get through this tonight. I've rushed through. Hope you got a little bit of something. It's awful teaching tonight, I know it. I thought about this afternoon. You know, I believe one of the failures of our modern church has been too shallow, so to speak. And I enjoy exciting messages. I really do. But there are times you just sort of have to settle in and dig in deep a little bit. You just have to just learn some things. And it's on my heart to do that. And I hope you'll be patient. I hope you'll enjoy it. But if you don't, I hope you'll be patient and pray for me. Father, thank you.